CBS News.
Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the President of the United States will address the nation on radio and television from his Oval Office.
Those were the words of Presidential News Secretary Ronald Ziegler as he addressed newsmen within the hour at the White House. I'm Douglas Edwards, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest on President Nixon's probable resignation from Robert Pierpoint at the White House.
President Nixon is preparing the final act of this two-year tragedy, his resignation address, to be made tonight at 9 p.m. Washington time. While Presidential Press Secretary Ronald Ziegler did not say it that definitively, that was the clear meaning of the announcement, which a trembling and tense Ziegler was barely able to get out.
I'm aware of the intense interest of the American people and of you in this room concerning developments today and over the last few days. This has, of course, has been a difficult time. The President of the United States will meet various members of the bipartisan leadership of Congress here at the White House early this evening. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the President of the United States will address the nation on radio and television from his Oval Office.
The actual act of resignation, the transition of power, could take place tonight, although there is no official word of timing on that here yet. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
You will be able to hear the President's address tonight over many of these CBS radio network stations beginning at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Vice President Ford's scheduled trip to the West Coast has just been canceled. Earlier, it was announced that it had merely been postponed until tonight or tomorrow, but now it has been canceled outright. CBS News continues after this message.
Number 9641, registered to cure 81 ham. Number 9642, registered to cure 81 ham. Number 9643, registered to
cure 81 ham. From the smokehouses of Hormel comes the only registered ham, cure 81. Each one so painstakingly cured and baked, it's given an individual number and registered as one of the world's most nearly perfect hams. Cure 81, Hormel's secret recipe that weds the haunting, smoky flavor of yesteryear to the fully cooked convenience of today. Slice after slice, ham after ham, each Cure 81 is dependably lean, tender, and flavorful. Cure 81, the registered ham. Depend on it to be of value.
A resolution was introduced in the Senate today urging that President Nixon be granted immunity from prosecution if he resigns. The proposal was introduced by Massachusetts Republican Edward Brooke, who called on the president to resign as an act of statesmanship in order to spare the country a long and harmful impeachment treatment. Initial reaction to the idea of Congress granting immunity was not favorable, as Bruce Morton reports from Capitol Hill.
House Speaker Carl Albert says he would not encourage a sense of Congress resolution urging that President Nixon not be prosecuted if he resigns. My own inclination, Albert said, is that this is a matter for the courts, the states, and the executive branch, not the legislative. Democratic Whip John McFaul agreed, saying he would oppose such a resolution, which was proposed today in both the Senate and the House. Albert also said he thought the House would not continue its impeachment proceedings after a presidential resignation. Albert said he was speaking for himself and had not consulted other Democratic leaders. He said, I would not favor impeaching the president. The Judiciary Committee, Albert said, should finish its report laying out the case against Mr. Nixon in the public record, but he thought the impeachment process ought to end there. Albert said his opinion had nothing to do with any stipulation, a reference to a view others have expressed that a presidential resignation should include an admission of guilt. Bruce Morton, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Stocks and more news after this message.
When you begin to wash all the clothes, then you get into what every mother knows. Kids get dirtier this time of year, and you're glad Fab with Borax is here. A lemony freshness, so clean and bright. Blue jeans and beach towels, Fab will wash them right. Summertime dirt and grime won't face Fab. Oh, Fab, I'm glad there's lemon, fresh, and Borax in you.
I want
That's sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on sign-off tablets. Sign-off delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
The wholesale price index for July up by 3.7%, due primarily to higher prices for industrial goods and farm products. The increase means there's been a rise of 20.4% over the course of the past year. Here's a switch. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this point down 8.76. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
WAAC News, this is Steve Snyder. It's 12:06.
At the tone, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
NBC Radio News. The Nixon administration appears to be nearly over. This is Bob Kane. President Nixon plans to address the nation tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. He is expected to announce that he is resigning. The White House has not confirmed the president's plan to resign, but White House aides have been quoted as saying that is what will happen. The New York Post has put out an extra edition with a full-page headline reading, Nixon Quits Tonight. Just a short time ago, Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House, delivered a message to the rest of the world, which is watching.
I think the world should know that this is purely an internal matter, that so far as I can speak for the Congress and the leadership, our foreign policy is still bipartisan. We will work with the new president, certainly abroad, and hopefully we can find areas in which we can explore some of the remedies for some of the problems that are haunting us at home.
NBC Radio will provide comprehensive coverage of the president's speech and related events beginning at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. More news after this.
The biggest advantage of having your automobile insurance with State Farm is the service that you can feel confident that you can get wherever you go.
Agent Jim Golden of Sioux City, Iowa, for State Farm Mutual.
If you're in Kansas or California, State Farm is there. I think the good feeling that you get that wherever you go, you know that if you should have an accident, that if you do need service, that all you need to do is go to the telephone book, look up the nearest State Farm agent, and the guy's there, and he's there to serve you, and he's happy to do it. We want to do everything we can to make him feel like he's wanted and that he's getting the best buy for his insurance dollar that he can get.
Like a good neighbor.
One of the men closest to President Nixon during the past few stormy weeks of his presidency has been Rabbi Baruch Korf of Providence, Rhode Island. Rabbi Korf heads the National Committee for Fairness to the Presidency. He has met several times recently and privately with the president.
The president has always placed the welfare of the nation above all else. And my feeling is that he will make the supreme sacrifice tonight.
A source at the White House now is reported to have said Vice President Ford will be sworn in as the nation's 38th president tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. There is a low-key, ongoing debate among senators and congressmen over prosecution of the president after resignation. NBC News correspondent Ann Taylor reports Senator Edward Brooke is pushing for immunity.
Brooke would like Congress to go on record opposing prosecution should the president resign. This would include prosecution or civil action by either the special prosecutor, the attorney general, or any state or local official. Brooke says that Congress cannot grant immunity, but it can go on record for it. And he said, should there be presidential resignation, that's punishment enough.
You're listening to NBC News.
I'm Johnny Bench. I play baseball, so I keep my body in good shape. I like to be well-groomed, too. So I switched underarm sprays till I found one that gives me what I want. New Body All Powdery Spray without talc. I get the comfort of powder, yet it's almost invisible on my skin. And the deodorant, like it says on the label, is a micro-encapsulated. So it keeps releasing fresh deodorant at the first hint of moisture. New Body All Powdery Spray without talc. I'll never switch again.
Stock prices have been slipping even in the face of President Nixon's expected resignation, and despite the fact that prices have gained this week because the president was expected to step down. Stock analysts say traders have simply decided to take their profits now before the announcement tonight by Mr. Nixon. As of moments ago, Dow Jones Industrials were down nearly 13 points in active trading. The Labor Department has announced an increase in wholesale prices last month of 3.7%. Talks are underway in Washington to try to end the strike that has grounded National Airlines for the past 24 days. A federal court in Richmond, Virginia has ruled that women who take part in a crime with men may not receive lighter sentences just because they are women. The Hour's lead story, President Nixon is to go on nationwide radio and television in just 6 hours and is expected to tell the nation he is resigning. Bob Kane, NBC News.
WTHI, the pride of the Wabash Valley.
WAAC, Terre Haute, reports news whenever it happens.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. The presidency of Richard Milhouse Nixon, which has lasted 2,062 days, appears tonight to be at an end. Racked by the political scandal called Watergate, the president seems ready to depart 6 years to the day after he accepted the Republican nomination for president in August 1968. Robert Pierpoint is at the White House.
The stage is now set for the final act of this drama, the resignation. The president is expected to explain it tonight and actually submit it tomorrow. Most of today, Mr. Nixon has been secluded in his private office across the street from the White House, presumably working on his final address to the nation from the Oval Office. This morning at 11, the president summoned Vice President Ford to the White House. They talked for an hour, and afterward, the president's press secretary, Ronald Ziegler, made his first announcement in many days and perhaps his last ever.
This has, of course, has been a difficult time. The President of the United States will meet various members of the bipartisan leadership of Congress here at the White House early this evening. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the President of the United States will address the nation on radio and television from his Oval Office.
While Ziegler did not say the president would resign, his face and his voice made clear his message. Meantime, the transition of power was already underway. Ford met for almost 2 hours this afternoon with Secretary of State Kissinger. It is the secretary who must formally receive the president's resignation before it becomes official. That is expected to happen tomorrow, with Ford sworn in shortly after. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
For Gerald Ford, who has served 8 months as vice president, this day, too, has been filled with anguish and decision. Phil Jones, who has covered Ford continuously for those 8 months, has a report.
Shortly before going to a Medal of Honor presentation in Washington today, Ford received word that President Nixon wanted to see him. For the first time, reporters and friends noticed a grim, preoccupied Gerald Ford. His private meeting with Mr. Nixon lasted for about an hour and 10 minutes. Later, Ford summoned Secretary of State Kissinger to his office across from the White House. That meeting lasted nearly 2 hours. The vice president said later they discussed foreign policy as it has been administered for the past 5 years. Indications are Ford will ask Secretary Kissinger and the entire Nixon cabinet to stay on. But not so certain is Ford's choice for vice president. The list is long, but Melvin Laird appears to have the inside track. Also mentioned prominently, Nelson Rockefeller, although some feel he would be unacceptable to conservative Republicans. Meanwhile, at the Ford home, more indications that the Fords might be moving to the White House. The street in front of the home was cordoned off. Telephones were brought in for reporters. Two of the Ford children arrived home, with two others reported on their way. And Mrs. Ford had a visit from a dress designer and seamstress. Bill Jones, CBS News, Washington.
The World Tonight continues in a moment.
The best time to replace your cranky old power mower with a new TruTest mower could be right now, not next spring, even if your old mower might make it through the summer. Hi, Pat Summerall here to tell you True Value Hardware stores know that next spring they'll have to charge 15 to 20% more for TruTest mowers. The price of steel and engines is rising fast, so the price of next year's mowers must rise too. Get a new TruTest mower now and you'll save money over next spring's price. And you won't have to put up with your cranky old mower for the rest of the summer. Get a TruTest gas-powered rotary, for instance, with a 3-horsepower engine and an easy lift starter. Or a TruTest electric mower. It's priced at just under $50. True Value Hardware stores manufacture TruTest mowers in their own factory. Their reputation as lawn care specialists depends on the quality of those mowers. True Test mowers. They're sold exclusively at participating True Value hardware stores. They're in the Yellow Pages.
With the end of President Nixon's tenure seen by nearly everyone, the mood on Capitol Hill today was one of getting on with it, of not punishing the president any further. George Herman has details.
The House and Senate transacted routine business today in a most perfunctory fashion. Clearly, their hearts were not in it. In a news conference, Speaker of the House Carl Albert argued that presidential resignation should not be followed by impeachment proceedings in a trial. The Speaker also felt that bills or resolutions of immunity for the president were not proper congressional business.
It seems to me that we have too many areas of governmental responsibility to consider before we start getting involved in something that we really have nothing to do with.
On the Senate side, though, Republican Edward Brooke of Massachusetts introduced precisely such a bill, a sense of the Congress resolution that the president should not be prosecuted after a proper resignation. And Brooke had strong thoughts on what was a proper resignation.
When I introduced the resolution on immunity for the president today, I said that I would want full confession from the president of his involvement in Watergate and all related incidents. And when he does resign from office, I would agree that he certainly should not say that I'm resigning, but I'm not guilty of any offense.
Senator Brooks' resolution has little support. He himself says it may lie quietly for some months before it's called up. George Herman, CBS News at the Capitol.
More news after this.
We call the Subaru the small car that's all car. And now we back it with a tremendous new warranty. A 12-month unlimited mileage warranty. That's right, unlimited mileage. Here's how it works. We cover your Subaru for a full year, no matter how many miles you drive. Everything on the car, except parts replaced under normal use and maintenance, is covered. We cover the quadrisonal engine, the front wheel drive, the independent suspension, the radio, even the cigarette lighter, for a full 12 months. And we're so sure of Subaru's durability and solid engineering, we protect you for a full year, no matter how many miles you drive. Of course, your Subaru must be operated and maintained in the recommended manner. And all warranty repairs or replacement parts must be made through an authorized Subaru dealer. So, if you're after durability and economy that lasts, test drive the Subaru with the new 12-month unlimited mileage warranty. It really is the small car that's all car.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan, friends and neighbors of Gerald Ford gathered in stores and restaurants to talk about the man now widely believed to be the nation's 38th president. Ike Pappas has details.
Understandably, citizens of the vice president's hometown of Grand Rapids have been following developments in Washington with more than just the usual interest. Tension was especially high at the suburban home of Dr. James Ford, one of the vice president's half-brothers. Dr. Ford's wife, Barbara, spent the morning ironing and watching news bulletins on television. She admitted that the pressure was getting to her.
I'm nervous. Terribly nervous. Why? Waiting to see what's going to happen. And so what? I think all of us feel that way. You don't.
I agree with
anticipation of what's going to happen.
The vice president's three half-brothers and their families plan to watch the president's address on television this evening. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Grand Rapids.
Wall Street, after this.
It's our anniversary. 10 years. 10. But tonight we're going to live a little. 10 years. 9 or tomorrow, my head and my stomach may not feel too hot. But it's our anniversary. And if I happen to overdo it, isn't it nice there's Alka-Seltzer? 10 years.
Alka-Seltzer. With antacids for your stomach and specially buffered aspirin for your aches and pains. Use it only as directed. Isn't it nice there's Alka-Seltzer?
On Wall Street, despite the near certainty of President Nixon's resignation, the Dow Jones was lower today in profit-taking, closing at 784, down more than 12.5 points. The average price per share was down 35 cents on the New York Exchange. It lost 3 cents on the American Exchange. And that's Wall Street on This World Tonight. Any resignation of President Nixon would have profound effects abroad. And tonight we have two reports on how foreign governments would view a President Ford. First, Charles Collingwood in London.
As the day has worn on, with increasingly definitive indications of President Nixon's retirement from office, so has the sense of relief here in Britain, where I am, and from what I get on the telephone from other countries in Western Europe as well. This relief springs less from a sense of moral outrage or personal passion about Mr. Nixon than from pragmatic considerations that this troubled world will be better off if the United States has an executive who can execute. That brings up Vice President Ford. Ford, as you can imagine, has been the subject of countless instant biographies and analyses, none of which adds up to much because Europeans simply don't know much about him. Charles Collingwood, CBS News, London.
This is Bruno Wassertile in Tel Aviv. Political observers here are divided over what the decline and fall of President Nixon will mean for the Middle East in general and Israel in particular. The optimists believe that it will have little tangible effect, that Gerald Ford, as President of the United States, would continue the American policy of strong military and economic support for Israel that reached its highest degree of expression under the Nixon administration. Ford has already said that Secretary Kissinger, who masterminded America's so far highly successful Middle East peace moves, will remain in office. The Israeli press in recent days has pointed up the fact that Ford is, and has for years, been an outspoken supporter of the Jewish state. Of course, that very point might not go down well in Arab capitals, and observers here are waiting to see whether this might chill the new romance between Cairo and Washington. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
More of the world tonight in a minute.
One simple step that can help reduce your risk of heart attack. Step into your doctor's office at regular intervals for a checkup. In that way, your doctor can keep an eye on your blood pressure. And if it is high, he can take steps to control it.
If you really want to give your heart a break, here's another simple step to take.
Another step? Get in touch with your heart association. Ask for your free copies of their new publications on blood pressure. You will find out just what blood pressure is and how it works. They'll tell you about hypertension, too. That's the medical term for high blood pressure.
Yes, simple other steps to take if you want to give your heart a break. For further information, ask your heart association.
With the signs all but certain that Richard M. Nixon will leave power after 5.5 years in the White House, Eric Severide has some thoughts about the man and the office.
These are, with no serious doubt, the last hours of the 37th presidency of the United States. Other presidents, including Washington, were tempted to resign. None did. Resignation with dignity is the only safe and civilized way remaining to transfer the power. The only alternative was trial and conviction. All but certain for the past couple of weeks, absolutely certain since Monday's admission of guilt in the obstruction of justice. So far as is known, the president has not been plea bargaining for immunity. To do that or to pardon himself, a constitutional possibility, would be to degrade his departure. His world would really end not with a bang, but a whimper. He must end like a man. In these last hours, Mr. Nixon could conceivably pardon his former associates who are scheduled for trial a month from tomorrow. If not, there is no way anybody could immunize him from being summoned as witness in those trials. The Nixon administration died of self-inflicted wounds. The bottom line in the social contract between the people and their chosen leaders is integrity. In the absence of that, the most impressive acts of statesmanship are not enough. The whole art of government, said Jefferson, consists in the art of being honest. As for Richard Nixon, the man, what we are seeing, in the words of one White House official today, is a case of psychic suicide. For more than 2 years, he has lived with knowledge of his own guilt. An awareness of that in this capital city is one reason there is no spirit here of vindictiveness, no desire to punish him further. Our political party and electoral processes have worked badly. They propelled Mr. Nixon and Mr. Agnew into power. But those processes have never been seriously institutionalized in this country. They work by hit and miss. Beneath the sadness here and the weariness, there is the beginning of a sense of hope, of a new start for the country. There is a chance, at least, that instability, doubt, and distrust are coming to an end. It is not just the instability of the last 2 years, but the instability at the top of the last 11 years. Mr. Ford would be the fourth president in a bit less than 11 years. The American people are too sensitively affected by the quality and actions of government. The world is too sensitive to America's moods and motions for this to continue. But some of the severe problems Nixon inherited from Johnson will be inherited by Ford from Nixon. Inflation seems number one. Statistically, this summer's rate means a wholesale price inflation of 20% a year. No free country has lived with that for more than a couple of years and retained free democratic rule. This is Eric Severide in Washington.
And that's The World Tonight, Thursday, August 8th, 1974. I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
Vice President Ford and President Nixon are meeting at the White House. We have a late report from ABC's Jerry Landay.
ABC News learns that President Nixon, the 37th President of the United States, will resign. When that will become official is still unknown. But the President summoned Vice President Gerald Ford to the Oval Office shortly before 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and ABC News learns that President Nixon informed his Vice President that he, President Nixon, would step out of office. White House Deputy News Secretary Gerald Warren had described the meeting as a private discussion. That is all Warren would say. But ABC News does learn that the message, the grave message, which the president had to convey to his vice president, was that he, Mr. Nixon, would become the first president in 198 years to leave office through resignation before the end of the term, and that Gerald Ford would assume the presidency. Jerry Landay, ABC News, the White House.
This is a live special report from ABC News. I'm John Grimes for ABC News. These late bulletins, President Nixon will resign by late this afternoon. That word through the Associated Press from House Republican leader John Rhodes. And another bulletin from the United Press International indicating that President Nixon will go on national television and radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tonight, again, presumably to announce his resignation. More on the latest on the resignation situation now from ABC's Jerry Landay at the White House.
The drama building up to this moment began shortly before 11 a.m., John, Eastern Time, that is, when we were called in for what Deputy News Secretary Gerald Warren likes to call, when there's not to be a full briefing, some information. The information was that at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, the president would begin a meeting in his Oval Office with Vice President Gerald Ford, whom he'd summoned there. Warren would only say it was a private meeting. He gave no clue as to what the president was saying, though it was fairly clear to us that he was, in fact, passing his decision on the resignation or conviction question to his vice president. A short time after that, ABC News learned that the word from the president, the somber word, to his vice president, was that Richard Nixon will step out of office, becoming the first president in 198 years to do that, resigning before the end of his term, and that Gerald Ford would thus succeed to the presidency.
Correspondent Jerry Landay in Washington, and if true, if it happens later today, Bob Walker, that would mark Richard Nixon's term at the 2026-day mark. Jerry was reporting from the White House. You have some thoughts, Bob?
John, President Nixon's imminent resignation, whenever it will come, a matter of hours now, we are certain of that, comes on the heels of perhaps the most intense public pressure ever applied against any president to resign. The president seemed to be able to survive somewhat those days of the House Judiciary Committee hearings when they voted to impeach him by a 28-10 margin on one of the articles. But when the president himself last Monday released transcripts of other White House conversations that took place with H.R. Haldeman just 6 days after the Watergate break-in, whatever support he had in Congress immediately crumbled, and all 10 Republicans who supported him on that resolution switched their minds. Now let's return to correspondent Jerry Landay at the White House for some late word. Jerry?
We're going to hear, I think, from the president himself later tonight. This was a very big question, and that was, what form would the resignation announcement take? Apparently now that's clear. We'd been told on a restricted basis a little earlier that at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. California time, that the president would have a broadcast speech to make to the nation. Now that word has been broken by a wire service, and so we can officially say that at 9 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, the president will announce his fateful decision directly to the country, Bob. And also, this would seem to bear out reports by ABC News and other agencies that as early as Sunday, when the president summoned five of his top aides, including two of his major speechwriters, to Camp David, that the speechwriters were given word to begin preparing a draft of a resignation announcement for possible use. At that point, the reaction to the president's belated admissions on Monday, those dramatic admissions that he, in effect, had been a party to the cover-up only 4 days after the break-in, had not yet been made. But the president asked for a standby draft of a resignation speech. He watched the reaction. The reaction was thunderous. And the president did, in fact, choose to use that address, which is now in preparation of being polished. And again, we'll hear it. The nation will hear it at 9 p.m. this evening, Eastern Time.
Jerry, when did you first notice a perceptible switch in the mood at the White House that, in fact, the end of the Nixon presidency was imminent, or was just a matter of time?
In fact, Bob, back in California 2 weeks ago, there were a thunderous succession of hammer blows to the president. The first hammer blow, of course, was on Friday the 12th, when John Ehrlichman, one of the men closest to the president, was convicted. Then, a week and a half after that, of course, the Supreme Court decision ordering the president to turn those 64 subpoenaed tapes over to Judge Sirica. And then, in fact, very hard on the heels of that, the repeated exposure by the House Judiciary Committee of its case against the president and its fateful vote on three articles of impeachment. And from that time on, it would appear to many of us here that the president was in checkmate and that it was then just a matter of time.
Jerry Lende, this is John Grimes in New York. Senator Edward Brooke this morning presented a resolution calling for a sense of Congress resolution, asking that the president be immune from prosecution once he resigns from office. But there appears to be a catch to it, and that is that Brooke wants the president to make sure that he makes a public confession of guilt. Is there any indication that the president might be willing to do that during his broadcast tonight?
This is hard to say. You know, there are some parallels here in a sense when you look at Brooke's request to the Agnew situation, and that is that before the Justice Department was prepared to accept the very minimum of penalties against the vice president, they insisted that they be permitted to publish a 40-page detailed list of his crimes, of his misdemeanors and his felonies, and only then would they accept his plea of nolo contendere and a delayed sentence. Here, what Brooke is saying really is that, to the president, it would seem to me, is that you, in fact, owe not only us, but the nation, a kind of mea culpa, a kind of apology, before we let you go scot-free. And, of course, the other interesting point is that a sense of the Senate resolution still has no binding power, say, upon a district attorney or a public prosecutor in Orange County, California, or in Dade County, California, who could, if he chose, still could pursue court actions, criminal actions against the president. And so in that sense, the president has weighed everything on the scales and is apparently prepared to face that gamble.
All right, Jerry, I would like to ask just one quick question, though. Any sign of Mrs. Nixon or the daughters? Because this has to be the most difficult time for the family.
Last night, the president took Tricia on a private walk in the Rose Garden. There were photographs of that. We have not seen them since. And it also might be added that we have not seen Pat Nixon in a number of weeks. There's been nothing on her social calendar.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. And so we know now that President Nixon has informed Vice President Ford in the Oval Office that he, President Nixon, is resigning, and that the president will make a national broadcast tonight on radio and television that he will resign and turn over the powers of the office to Vice President Gerald Ford. On behalf of my colleagues, correspondent Jerry Lande at the White House, and across the desk from me here in New York, ABC John Grimes, this is Bob Walker in New York. This has been a special live report from ABC Radio News.